Hello, ladies of No BS. Good morning. Hello, I am Coach Lizzie, and I'm coming at you live. I know Coach Kathy's going to be joining me here in just a minute, and we're finishing up the month of March, and we're talking about how to use journaling when you just want to quit, right? Who's with me? Who's ever felt like, oh my gosh, I've been doing all the things, and it's just a lot. And I'm so tired and I'm exhausted and my life is just everything and I just want to quit, right? Like sometimes it can be a lot to kind of keep all of the things in mind that you're working on, and it can feel exhausting. It can feel like you're doing a lot. So we're going to talk about that today. Let's see, how do I do members? See if, oh, look at this. Let me see if Coach Kathy is here. Coach Kathy's coming on, gonna join me here in a second. Exciting. Good morning, Coach Kathy.
Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to team up with you today. One of my favorite people in the whole world.
Oh. And you're mine. And hey. I love it. I'm so glad we're here. I hope everybody loves that we're back on Monday morning.
With
your coffee, Lizzie.
Oh, I've already had my two cups. I'm on the water now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was on a meeting last week where Coach Kathy was like, we need those Facebook Lives. We need to be in there supporting our peeps. So I'm really glad that we're back and talking about how to support our No BS ladies today.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was like when people want to quit. And there's a couple of things that tend to come up. Like there's various different stories that we tell ourselves. And Corinne always talks about quitting is tempting because there's this immediate relief of like, oh, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah. But it's sort of like a bait and switch, because as soon as that quick hit of relief wears off, your dreams and your goals and your desires to lose weight are still there. And pretty soon you're going to find yourself searching for the next fancy, shiny object, the next thing that's going to be like, this is the extreme weight loss program that's going to make me work finally this time. And so we'd love to talk about some of the things to think about so that you're not on that roller coaster of like, I'm feeling exhausted, I want to quit, I feel like 30 seconds of relief, and then I'm looking for the next best thing.
Yeah.
So
it's sort of like the same kind of mentality we have when we want a snack. Right. When we binge, when we overeat, it's like that temporary relief. But then afterwards, we're left with the residuals of, see, I failed again. Mm. You know, very, very, very similar, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like on a micro scale, it's like I'm having the urge. It's building. Oh, I had a snack, but now I feel lousy.
Yeah.
And it's, I want to quit. That I'm exhausted. I quit. But now I still want to
feel
weight.
Right.
Yeah, I feel lousy.
Yeah.
So one of the main things that we hear sometimes when people are like, I just want to quit, is that I'm doing all the things and it's just not working.
Yeah.
And so naturally they're feeling discouraged. They're not getting the results they want. And so Kathy, what would you say if somebody said to you, like, I'm doing all the things and it's just not working?
So Lizzie, I've actually had this thought. That I'm doing all the things. It feels very like self-satisfying, except most of the time when I'm telling myself that, I'm not telling myself the truth. I might be thinking about how I need to do all the things, or I should do all the things. And I might have put together a string of a day or two where I did all the things, but many times, since Kathy is not perfect, many times I'm really not doing all the things. So what I have to do is go back and look and see, all right, what am I doing consistently, right? It's almost like you parcel all the things out into those that you're actually doing consistently and those that are a little inconsistent, because the inconsistent things are the ones to work on. And as we think about it, consistency, remember y'all, is not perfection. It is showing up. Consistency is showing up. And I think that's where our brains get a little muddied, don't you?
Yes, I totally agree. And so I would say there's the I'm doing all the things, but then you're sort of not telling yourself the truth. Mm-hmm. But sort of a second cousin to that is I should be doing all the things, but I'm not. And I feel lousy about myself. And all of the things feel so overwhelming. And that overwhelm makes me want to quit.
Yep.
And so when that is the thought, I would say, well, hold on. Like, let's define all the things. What is your definition of all the things that you have to do? And Kathy, when you talk to a client about that, like, what do they usually say? Like, well, what are exactly all the things?
It's funny, Lizzie, because I see this in Ask Coaches a lot. I see this with my clients a lot. All the things is I'm making a plan. I'm asking myself, am I hungry? I'm asking myself if I've had enough. They're asking themselves the questions, but they might not be taking it that next step. Like, mm-hmm. Are they actually stopping at enough? Are they actually waiting for hunger? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
It's the difference between thinking about the basics and actually putting them into play and experimenting with it. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. And I would also say that if you're feeling overwhelmed, don't do all the things.
Right.
Pick it. Do one thing.
Well, and you know, I have private clients who I'll ask them, they'll say, I really need to work on the doable hunger method. I'll say, pick one side.
Right.
Really, really work on that one so that you figure out, you know, what's going on that one. Get that one unlocked before you move into the other things. Because if you try and do all the things at one time, it can be very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to think about. It's like consuming, right?
For sure. Yeah. And so I would really validate somebody who's like, I'm trying to do all the things and I feel overwhelmed. Yeah, I get it. So don't do all the things. And so when you say like the doable hunger method, just pick one side, I would say for somebody who finds themselves grab-assing, you know, just sort of like picking this and that during the day, I would recommend focus on waiting for hunger. Don't worry about stopping enough, just focus on waiting for hunger. Conversely, somebody who's like, I pretty much eat during meals, like I don't grab us between meals, but when I sit down to eat, particularly dinner, I tend to eat past enough.
Yeah. Are you in my head?
Well, I have been working on ESP, but that if you know, for if that's you, then I would suggest that you don't worry about waiting for hunger and you focus on stopping it enough.
Yeah.
And so Kathy, how would you suggest somebody utilize journaling since we're wrapping up the month about journaling? How can they not focus on all the things, but allow journaling to help them focus on one thing that might actually move the needle?
Yeah. So once you identify that one thing, is that what you're asking? How to identify the thing or how to put it into play?
Let's do both.
Okay. So how to identify the thing? I think we go back to what I suggested in the beginning. What are you doing consistently and what are you not doing consistently? But here's the thing, y'all. You can't go into this going, I'm such a failure. This is my last attempt. No. You have to go into this thinking, all right, I'm very curious about what's going on with me and my weight loss. You create a little safety. You put your hand on your heart and say, this is not a danger zone. Thinking about weight loss is not a danger zone. I'm okay to sit here and think and figure out what am I doing consistently that I can celebrate. So there's one list. Making a list is journaling, y'all. And then the other list is, what are the places that I would like to grow and improve in? And who can I ask to help me support me in those? So you have this first list and you're good, right? You got all the things you're doing consistently. You just keep doing those. Those things are on lock. Then this other list that is the things that you want to improve on, you pick the easiest one and you make another list or you journal about just for today. How can I manage this particular item on this list? I'm a big believer, Lizzie, in what can I do just for today?
Yeah.
It's just so much more doable to me.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you attack it? Would you do it differently?
No, I would say that if I'm looking to implement the things, you know, that I think I'm telling myself I'm doing and be like, okay, when am I stopping it enough? When might I be, you know, kind of going past enough? When might I be, you know, not telling myself the truth? And so I would bring a lot of curiosity and openness to it and be like, here's what I'm going to do. This is a form of journaling. I'm just going to take a week and notice and write down my fullness signals. Mm. I don't have to change a single thing, eat the same amount of food, but just take a week to jot down. I noticed I was full when I had the sigh. I noticed I was full when I was looking for Best Bites. I noticed I was full when my stomach felt a little bit, you know, heavy. just write down what, like, when was the last time you cataloged and made a list of your fullness signals or your hunger signals? Like, that's really useful information to have. That can count as journaling.
Yeah, 100%. And let's say this too, those things can shift and change over time. So if you have, let's say you came in and you were like all gung ho and you lost your first 25 pounds and you're in the Queen's Club and you stalled, maybe it's time to revisit that list, because sometimes or you started, I don't know, Zepbound or Manjaro or one of those. Now some of your signals may have evolved or changed or done something different. So it's important to go back and revisit that list to see, you know, are we still feeling the same things? Are we still to the same signals?
Yes, exactly. Another way to use journaling with helping you with stopping at enough is just to, again, take a week and notice, like, give yourself a rating, if you will. How full was I when I stopped eating? And then wait 20 minutes and rate yourself again. How full was I?
Love that.
20 minutes later. Sometimes it's the same. Sometimes it's different. And again, you can keep no change in behavior. You can keep eating the same amount. But if you're noticing, what is my fullness level, that's bringing your awareness and helping you kind of tune back into, what does fullness look like at the size of my body today?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. A little sidebar here. Ken and I went and had an early dinner last night because we had all those storms come through. And, you know, I pushed it away when I felt like I was at enough. And I finished my drink. I had a beer, Lizzie. I had a beer. Finished my drink, added some water. By the time I got up, I was like, holy moly. I don't know what I have done, but I have totally overeaten.
Yeah.
You're right. That happens. You can push it away. And then 20 minutes later, be like, uh-oh, apparently that was a few bites too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
So especially if you're not paying attention, like Ken and I, we were in this place that had all these TVs everywhere. We're having a conversation. I didn't pay attention like I should have. So yeah. All that said is, you're exactly right. This 20-minute interval can be really, really telling for you.
Right.
So what do you do, Lizzie? How do you journal that? You know, when you realize that and you know, you're at the table and you're thinking about, you know, I need to stop it enough, but then enough actually, you know, you bypass it 20 minutes later. How do you reflect on that in journaling without getting snarky with yourself?
Oh, okay. I mean, curiosity is the key to shifting that dialogue in your head. And also recognizing that voice of judgment is probably never going away. Like, I used to think that I needed to just always be like sunshiny in my brain. And if, you know, when the judgment came in, I was like, shoot, I'm not there yet. Until I realized that's fantasy land. Like, the voice of judgment's always going to be there. The win is spending less time in judgment and moving to curiosity sooner. So in your example from last night, you had what you ate and you stood up and you're like, oh man, I ate much more past enough than I realized. The first knee-jerk reaction thought is going to be negative, you know, damn it, or I should have known better, something like that.
Yeah, and then, should have known better, that's me.
Right, which is not that helpful. Mm-mm. But the win is to, you know, very quickly come in and be like, okay, interesting. What was different about this situation that might have led to me eating past enough? Well, there's a lot of distractions. You got TVs, you got Ken's talking to you, and Ken could talk to a lamppost. I mean, like, you got to be on your game to be paying attention, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of inputs coming at you. And so naturally, you would not be paying attention to the inputs in your tummy. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then how would you take that forward? You could say, hey, next time I'm out at a restaurant, whether it's just with Ken or with friends or what have you, I'm going to know in advance, it's going to be super hard to pay attention to my enough signals.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm going to like game it in advance. And I'm going to like the meal is going to come and it's probably going to be too much. So I'm going to ask for a to-go box when the meal comes and put half of it aside. The food is still there. Like, if I'm still hungry when I finish my plate, I can always go grab something out of the to-go box. But that is now like my blanket policy for restaurants. When the food comes, I also ask for a to-go box. Half of it goes in the box and it's out of sight. I rearrange the food on my plate so it looks like my plate is full. Like, literally once I have gone into the to-go box and I regretted it. It's just, but it makes it so that I start with less but I can be more mindless. I can be less in tune and still not overeat.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. I don't often use the to-go box thing, but I'm getting ready to go on vacation. So I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll just have my food and shove part of it away, but I can see the benefit in hiding it from my vision, like closing it up in a box and setting it to the side. Yeah. I love that, Lizzie. Thank you.
Well, and also like journaling has helped me in that I, through journaling, have recognized that I am a clean plate gal. Like I just like to clean my plate. I like that sense of accomplishment. I don't like leaving bites behind. I just don't. So knowing that about myself, I kind of like set the game in my favor by starting out with less so that I can still get that satisfaction of cleaning my plate and also not eating to full or past full.
Yeah. Love that. Love it.
Okay. So some other thoughts can come up around, I just want to quit. And Kathy, this is your wheelhouse. A lot of times when people feel like they want to quit, it's because like, I know, you know, maybe I'm not stopping it enough and so forth, but I feel like I can't because my feelings are too big. I got too much stress going on and I'm so habituated to turning to food to handle my feelings. And I don't know how to fix that. I don't know that I ever could fix it. So why continue to try and, you know, bang myself over the head trying to lose weight, because my feelings are always going to be a problem and food is always going to, I'm always going to want to fix it with food. It feels like I'm just stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's probably happening there, Lizzie, is that you have a pattern, like a lifetime habit of feeling better because you're eating. You know, I think about eighth grade Kathy, who didn't make the cheerleading team, the middle school cheerleading squad. What did my mama do? She took me to get ice cream because I'm sad. So we have developed over time this lifetime habit of eating to feel better. And essentially what's happening is that's just how we've trained our brain. It's not really a problem, except that it packs the weight on if we always feel bad and we always turn to food. So you have to back the truck up just a little bit and offer yourself different things that might try before you eat. So, you know, I try to teach people, you know, this pause plus permission concept. Mm-hmm. I teach it in that way, just so I'm not going to you and saying, Lizzie, you can't eat anymore, right? Because who's going to be a rebel eater and eat anyway, right? Who's going to be, and then be mad about it. And, you know, it's just this confluence of all the emotions come in. So what I try to teach people is try something else that comforts you, something self-soothing that comforts you before eating. I always think about, when I retired from my state job, one of my public defenders gave me a fuzzy blanket, like a really sweet, soft blanket. And I will always try that first before eating. I'll cover myself up, I'll feel the softness, I'll wrap myself up and give myself this self-soothing gesture before I turn to food. So I think that's the key. What else? And that's where the journaling can come in. Make another list, right? Or just one thing or three things. Tell yourself you have to come up with three things to try, you know, at different times before eating. What self-soothing kinds of things do you do, Lizzie?
Self-soothing kinds of things. I'd love to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. One of the beautiful things about where I live is I can go outside every day of the year and see the sky. Like I need some space over my head.
Yeah.
And so that is very soothing to me. And I agree with you. Like the more I have tuned into my body and my senses, that tactile sensation of something soft and cozy, like I've got three blankets that like, it depends, like they're all a little bit slightly different material, but you know, that just make me feel so snuggly and so safe and just.
Yeah. I coached a woman one time on one of the How to Feel the Hard Stuff calls that ate every night after bed for relief. You know, she put her kids to bed, you know, it's like the tension of the day with the work and the kids and all the things, and the kids would go to bed and she would decompress with eating. It's like, you know, that's how she just kind of found her relief and got herself ready for bed. And I told her one time, I said, instead of doing that, before you do that, take a shower.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And it's not a clean yourself shower. What did I just do? somebody
just this your Facebook knew that you were just dropping some dimes, you brilliance there.
So it's not a clean yourself shower. It's a get in and feel the warmth and the rhythmic, you know, tapping of the water on your skin, that sensation of being wrapped up in that warm water. And you know, she got out of that shower and not only did she not eat, she lotioned, she creamed, you know, she put on face masks, she did all these things for herself. That's the key. That's what we're really looking for, is a little bit of self-care or self-soothing or something nice for ourselves when we're eating to alleviate that stress.
Yeah. And going back to the idea of feeling feelings and they feel too big, I absolutely am, you know, case in point of like someone who felt like her feelings were too big. I just want to push them away. I'm going to deal with them later. Which of course I never actually did, but like tears would burst up and then I would judge myself for crying and so forth and just all the things. And Kathy, I have come such a long way. I'm so proud of myself. But if you listening feel that way, that like, I am afraid to feel my feelings, girl, I am with you. I have been there. I got you. I'm still afraid to feel my feelings a lot of times. And you don't have to be stuck there. One of the things that I will share with clients that is like a little like crack the door open to here's how you could practice feeling your feelings is, first of all, bundle this activity with something you do regularly each day. So like maybe it's drinking your coffee. And I purposefully say like drinking your coffee because like maybe that's earlier in the day when like your feelings haven't gotten super big yet. You're not at the end of the day when you're super stressed and I'm like, I just need the food. Like do this at a time when you're not as activated. And it's this really simple two-step process. And you simply ask, what am I feeling? And any answer is okay. And you can use a feelings wheel if you want, or you could just be like, I don't even know. And that's okay too. But like just sort of like feel around like, what am I feeling? I'm feeling anxious about this Facebook Live I'm gonna be doing later with Coach Kathy. Like, so that's step one. Step two is I'm allowed to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Anxiousness is allowed to be here. I don't have to fix it. That is the magic. I don't have to fix it, because that's what we do with the food. We're trying to fix the feeling by like stuffing it away with food. And if you're just like, I'm allowed to feel anxious, I don't have to fix it. And even this really helped me recently. I was feeling like I was having an outsized sort of anger, frustration response to something going on with my kids. And like, it was the kids, the issue wasn't that big of a deal, but like my emotions were bigger than what was going on. And I was like, I don't know why I'm reacting so strongly. And so I added on a little piece to this of like, what am I feeling? I'm feeling angry and frustrated. And then I said, I don't even have to know why I'm feeling angry and frustrated, but I'm allowed to feel that way. Anger and frustration are allowed to be here. And I realized that was so, so helpful, because as soon as I say, why am I so angry? Hello, judgment. Hello, shame.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Amplification, because you're repeating all the reasons why you're so angry.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I find as a recovering non-feeler that I tend to judge my feelings a lot because they're too big, they're too much, to just make them go away. And if I can just say I'm allowed to feel angry or frustrated, and I don't even have to know why, it's just allowed to be here. God, I mean, like I'm not even feeling angry or frustrated right now, but just saying that, I'm like, wow, I feel much more relaxed.
That's awesome. If you do know why, you can go down another path to a step three. Do you want to know what that is?
Please.
Normalize it. Of course I feel this way. I'm a mom who loves my kids. And when you say, and I'm a mom who wants the best for my kids, of course I feel this way, right? And when you say that, it's like, oh, there's the allowance part. There's the self-compassion. What do you think of that?
I love that. Of course, in the moment, it wasn't that I was feeling that I'm a mom who loves my kids. I was annoyed with what they were doing. It was like, I'm a working mom who wants to get to work and my kids are getting in the way.
Okay. Normalize that. How would you normalize it?
How would I normalize it? I'd be like, that particular situation was something that had been happening. And I basically said to my daughter, like, this needs to stop. And, you know, it was, of course I would be frustrated with this. This has happened many times in a row now, and it puts all of us in a bind. And basically she needed to get to school early and didn't tell us. Mm-hmm. And so like, we're all in a rush to get to school, because it was an emergency at, you know, 7:15 in the morning. Yeah. Of course I was angry, by the way.
Of course I was angry. She forgot to tell me. Right. Of course I was angry. I had to change some things. You know, to me, that is a very self-compassionate piece when you can normalize what you're feeling, because it takes that allowing piece that you had at number two and gives it a little bit of self-compassion.
Yeah. And so you could use journaling to just practice noticing, allowing, and normalizing your feelings.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Let's see. We got about 5 more minutes. We want to try one more?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So another common reason why people say, like, I'm at my wit's end, I want to quit, is because, like, life has gotten lifey and I am exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, I'm burnt out, and weight loss is just too much. I just can't even.
Yeah. Can't focus on me. Is that this one? Is that, I can't focus on me. There's too much else going on. I got to get my daughter to school.
Yeah.
Or is it everything?
I think it's all of the above. Like, I think the factor of, like, I can't focus on me plays into I'm overwhelmed with life, because all of the other demands are a priority. They become in front of me. And so I'm at the bottom of my priority list and I'm just burnt.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you know this about me, Lizzie, but I'm a calendar girl. My calendar tells me what I'm supposed to be working on, my calendar said at 8:00, you better show up and be on that live with Lizzie. Okay. Because, you know, as I'm almost 60. So the memory, not as strong as it was when I was 40 or 45. So everything to me goes on a list or on a calendar, including the time I take for me to make sure I am grounded, to make sure I know what my next step is. So that's how I combat overwhelm. And specifically when life gets lifey, I know that I have to have time for me to settle myself down. So I put in little 5 or 10 minute time blocks of time just for me, whether it's to just stand outside in the sunshine or take my hot shower before I go to bed or something like that. That's, to me, that's the easiest thing to do, is to make sure, even though it sounds counterintuitive, I'm overwhelmed, there's so much to do, if you can take time just for yourself and settle yourself with one of my 5 core pillars, like walk in sunshine, a little movement, something like that, then you're going to feel like you can move on to the next step. But it's really, really important to make sure you're not thinking about the million things you have to do at one time. You pick that one most important thing, and you can do that while you're having that little bitty, you know, me time. Here's the thing. If you're a person who snacks every afternoon at 3:00 because you're overwhelmed and you have so much to do, you could be spending that snack time thinking about what your next step is, right? Because you're not doing anything during the snack time but eating. What do you think of that?
I love it. And I'll take it. I'll see your step in the sunshine and I'll raise you one.
Okay.
So on one of our goals mastery calls recently, someone was saying that, like, she'd had a goal and life got lifey and it kind of, you know, a lot of things were on her mind, whether it was like they were moving and there was a health concern, and it's a lot, like, legit things. Mm-hmm. And she, bless her heart, wrote in to Ask Coaches, high five for Ask Coaches, please utilize us. And the coach response was, why don't you do a brain dump? And I loved it, because she came back to Goals Mastery and she's like, this is what I did. I did a brain dump. I just wrote out everything that was on my mind. And, like, you could even see in her demeanor, she was like, it just, like, you could, it, like, filtered out of her brain and it opened up space to be like, okay, now what do I can do?
Yeah.
And so if you are the kind of person who tends to snack every day at 3:00 because you're overwhelmed, at 2:30, you could schedule in a 5-minute appointment with yourself to be like, this is my brain dump time. I'm just going to get everything out of my head. And just whoosh, and then you're opening up space to be like, okay, what's the one thing?
Yeah. I love it. See, I treat my calendaring as journaling.
Yeah.
It helps me organize. Anything that helps me organize what's going on in my life or in my brain is journaling. And having that 5 minutes of me time to do my calendaring, same. It's like a brain dump for me. It's like I take that great big long list of things I need to do and I poke them into my calendar. And I saw something in the chat that was interesting. We have people who are retired too, who have, it's like the opposite of overwhelm. They don't have, you know, very much to do. And because they don't have very much to do, they procrastinate doing those things. I have someone in Calm and Confident who's like this. She wants to wake up and walk every day. Wake up, water, and walk. That's her thing. And she never gets to the walk. And I'm like, why not? She's like, well, I just tell myself I'll do it later and I never do it. Make an appointment with yourself, y'all. This is how you have your own back. This is how you stay in congruence with what it is you really need and what you want. If you want to wake up, water, and walk, you've got to find a way to do that, you know, not being, you know, with all the time in the world. You don't have to be motivated. You just got to do it. That's what I told the client the other day. I said, be Nike. Just do it. Be Nike.
Yeah. Yeah. Motivation follows action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you're, whether you're overwhelmed or the opposite of overwhelmed and have all the time in the world, and this kind of journaling can really, really help you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kathy, any kind of conclusion, wrap up thoughts?
Yeah. Couple of things. We as the coaches, y'all, are here for you. It is, I'm gonna get all mushy, but I really, really feel like I am exactly where I'm supposed to be to support women in their weight loss and in making sure that their lives are improving and being the best person that they can be. This is every time, every S coaches is validation that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And that's here for you. That's why I fought to have this Facebook Live brought back, because we as coaches love you and want you to succeed in such a strong way. So please listen to the lives. Please reach out to us in Facebook. Please reach out to us and ask coaches. We want to be here to support you. This is our shtick. This is our thing, right?
Amen. 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 I can say I spent the first 47 years of my life trying to figure out what am I supposed to do with my life. And now that I figured it out, I'm like, it's just amazing that I get to do it every day. And so everybody, for you listening, help Kathy feel validated by sending right in to ask coaches. Like, don't you want to validate Kathy?
Well, and Mish and Ashley and yes, all of Dean, us. I mean, Christy, everybody, we are here to support you. That's what makes No BS special.
Right.
And that's, you know, Corinne has set you up with an amazing team of coaches and herself. And y'all, use us. Don't be that person that quits because you don't feel supported. We're here. We're supporting you.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Right. And again, like that desire to quit it's a temporary relief. And we don't want you out there searching, like, you know, we want you to lose weight. We want you to feel amazing. And obviously Kathy and I believe that No BS is the place to help you do it your way, not by some, you know, guru's prescription. It's how to figure out the way that works for you in your body in a way that lasts. So if you're ever feeling like you want to quit, please write in to Ask Coaches and let us help you.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.